No playing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to D20 Dudes, a tabletop role playing podcast where the dad decides our topic. I'm Derlin.
I'm Molly.
Hey, Molly, you remember when all we ever talked about was Blades in the Dark and vampires?
I do remember that. I know a lot about vampires now.
Anyway, we're going to talk about vampires.
Oh, we're going to talk about them again. I think
we talk about more vampires.
But we talked about, did we talk about vampires last week?
We talked about Blades in the Dark last week.
Ah, yes. The one that I continually get confused with the vampires.
Man, how nostalgic. It do be us, though.
Nostalgic for a couple of months ago.
true today nostalgia. We're going to speak upon the Sabbat.
The Sabbat.
These crazy assholes. Yeah, so there's like three kind of major factions, and like it's kind of like a boiling it down to like not quite truths, but three major factions. We've talked about the Anarchs, we've talked about the Camarilla. The last of the three is the Sabbat.
Yes.
The Anarchs and the Camarilla don't like each other, but they can get along somewhat amicably, at least in some situations, because ultimately they want the same thing, and that's for vampire kind to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabbat don't give a shit. The vampires of the Sabbat hate everything. The Camarilla and the Anarchs hate them because they are crazy assholes.
So why?
To kind of put things in perspective, one of the first things I saw when I opened the book was, so you want to make a medieval death cult.
Yes.
So that's what the Sabbat are. They are a medieval death cult.
Let's see. By death cult, do you mean that they kill themselves or they kill others?
Yeah.
So both.
Uh-huh. So the killing of themselves is not necessarily voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they do not care for the masquerade. They don't think that it should matter. They think that vampires are the supreme form of human life, and thus all humans should be subject to their whims. And we don't need to hide ourselves because fuck y'all.
Ah, so it's a little like Vampire Hunter D is what their goal is.
Sure. Never seen it.
You haven't? There's books, nope. Too. Actually, Vampire Hunter D is like directly up your alley. As if you spread your butt cheeks, it would go directly up your ass. 100%. Like the homing butt missile. No, really. I'm serious.
Sure. But, so... Again, they are vampire supremacists, and they have some weird fucking beliefs. We've talked about the Cainites in the Book of Nod.
You called them supremacists, and they tend to.
Yeah. So we've talked about the Cainites in the Book of Nod before, and how like they believe Cain was the first vampire and all that. So the Sabbat think, like, yes, Cain was the first vampire. We are all a child heir of Cain. Fuck the clans, fuck the antediluvians, because they said fuck Cain. We should kill literally all of the antediluvians who progenated these clans that are like the major part of vampires' society now, because fuck them. Cain is the one true vampire. We need to worship and venerate him, and everyone else can go eat a bag of dicks.
That's fair. He was the first one, so, you know.
Yeah. So very, very heavily into the whole Church of Cain thing.
Mm-hmm.
They almost always either identify as being clanless or as being, like, I think the word is antitribu. It's like, we are part of this clan, but, like, opposite, because fuck those guys.
Like, anti-tribal?
It's a weird word that I'm pretty sure was made up just for the game.
Ah, that's fair.
But yeah, so, like, if they have any clan associations at all, it's like literally they're like, well, we're the bad boys of this clan because we're going to say fuck dad and kill him.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of their whole shtick. They also brainwash all of their members. Because they have this whole like Church of Cain thing that they're doing. Like, we are the superior life. We should be in charge, and we're going to wage this holy war against literally everybody. So they also, much in like flying in the face of both the Anarchs and the Camarilla. Or like the Anarchs can have some kind of loosey-goosey rules about embracing new vampires. The Camarilla have very strict rules about embracing new vampires.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabbat, well, they're embracing new people left and right. They don't give a shit. They're like, man, we need like just a bunch of chaos to happen like over there so that we can complete an objective. So they'll literally just go into a town, club a whole bunch of people over the head with shovels, throw them into a mass grave after an embrace, and wait for them to just wake up and then point them in the direction of an objective.
Fascinating. You would think that with them wanting to be in supreme control, that they would want as few as possible, because technically humans are their food source.
True, but like they do that, they literally cannon fodder whenever they do that.
Mm.
Like they're not meant to survive. The ones that do, they'll bring them in. But they have this really weird structure, this weird hierarchical structure, because to say the Sabbat is a faction is a bit of a misnomer, because that kind of implies that the Sabbat is like an organized thing, that mm-hmm. they have like a command structure. It's like, no.
I don't know about command structure as much as caste structure is what I was thinking.
They don't even have that. It's like as many different Sabbat packs as you meet, there is that many different specific beliefs on what the Sabbat is and how it should go about its goals.
Okay.
They are not centralized in any way.
That's really and interesting. In fact,
Sabbat members, like different Sabbat packs, will often go to war with each other because of how different their beliefs may be.
That's interesting. They're crazy assholes. So it really is very much like religion, I guess.
Yeah, they're very, very religious in like these weird ways.
Mm-hmm.
So like if they embrace somebody with the purpose of like either bringing somebody into their pack or creating a new pack, they will fucking brutalize that new vampire to the point that it completely shatters their psyche, and then build them back up with the Sabbat beliefs to brainwash them into being one of them.
That's very cultish. This reminds me of, say, colonial missionaries.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason they do this is they don't want any of these new fledgling embraced to hold on to any part of their humanity. Mm-hmm. We are not humans anymore. We are above.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, people, kindred in the Anarchs or the Camarilla, like, usually, at least for a time, that they're trying to like hold on to some of their humanity.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to like remember who they were as people and remember what was important to them and like have something of a moral compass. And it takes time for that to degrade. The Sabbat are immediately just trying to get rid of that. That's why the Elder Sabbat, as few of them as they are, because Sabbat have very high death rates, as you might surmise.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to get turned into whites very frequently. Where like a white again? Within this context, it is a vampire who just has completely lost all their humanity. They are now a blood-hungry beast and nothing more.
Fascinating.
They form these packs. So, like, they don't have... again, they eschew the clans entirely whenever they can. They don't have coteries, like other vampire groups are usually called. They just have these blood packs. And they perform this ritual called the Valdery, which ends up in kind of this communal blood bond called the Vinculum.
I feel like we've talked about this before.
We've touched on it a little bit, but kind of the way it works is, so it's kind of a communal blood bond where mm-hmm. like a lot of the time, new kindred, when they get embraced, their sire will blood bond them in order to make sure that they are obedient.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes this is part of like a training thing in order to like get them ready to be a kindred. Sometimes this is like, hey, I made you just to be my servant thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually they'll give them their blood until they are completely subservient. They are not able to go against their sire's will.
I think we talked about thralls too, right?
Yes.
Okay. So like what's
they're
the
called ghouls.
Where is the line between thrall and vampire in this?
Well, it's ghouling is what it is. So like a human who drinks vampire blood becomes a ghoul
mm-hmm.
where they gain like a fragment of the vampire's power. Like they may be able to use some low level vampire disciplines. They'll usually stop aging and they'll be very strong and very like agile and just kind of overall very healthy and cool for a human. But they are mm-hmm. also completely bound to the Kindred's will.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot act against them in any way. And also, it's like basically like a drug addiction, where like if they don't get it within a certain amount of time, then they'll do anything for a hit of vampire blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they don't get it within that time frame, it can have extremely detrimental effects, especially if that ghoul is incredibly old, because if the effects of the blood bond wear off, and that ghoul is very, very old, all that aging catches up to them just all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And it's debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
If you blood bond another vampire, it's a lot of the same effects, where like they can't go against your will in any way, but like Kindred, you know, they're a bit more robust than just a baseline human. Drinking blood from any source has the potential to unlock like new disciplines, because that's just kind of how it works. So like it is, they're getting a little bit of power out of it, but they're also just servile. They can not do anything other than whatever their master bids them do. The Vinculum, this communal blood bond, breaks all previous blood bonds. So like even the Tremere pyramid, where like every single Tremere is bound to their sire, who's bound to their sire, who's bound to their sire, all the way up to the heads of the entire clan in Vienna. Like even that is broken whenever the Valder is performed and the Vinculum is made. And kind of the way that that works is like each one of the Kindred will give a little bit of blood into like a vessel, and then they perform some ritual. It's usually very esoteric. It really depends on the particular pack, the specifics of the ritual, but it is then drinking of this combined blood from everyone in the pack that creates this communal blood bond. That it's not as strong as a traditional blood bond. It usually will make them a little bit chummier with each other for a while. And in fact, if the blood bond is particularly strong in a certain pack, they've been described to almost act like a hive mind, where they don't actually share each other's thoughts, but because they're so in sync, because of this blood bond causing them to share a common goal and share a common ideology, that they don't really need to talk to do or do much in order to work together towards the same goal, because they're all in the exact same headspace.
So like, are they, I know that I think I remember that crossing between clans is not super popular. So does this clan tend to also kidnap other vampires from different clans?
Oh yeah, they'll kidnap other
Kindred. I mean, obviously humans would be easier, right?
Yeah, humans are super, they'll get humans, and then they'll again, they'll embrace them en masse sometimes in order to throw them as cannon fodder, sometimes in order to just like bump up their own ranks. Because again, they have incredibly high death rates because they don't care for the masquerade. They've got Camarilla and Anarchs coming after them because they are just masquerade breaches waiting to happen at all times. Also, the Second Inquisition has no trouble finding them, so they get fucking obliterated by vampire hunters very frequently.
Well, they are very loud. And they
they're very
prefer
loud
to do cannon fodder rather than intrigue. So that makes sense.
And they're basically terrorists.
Scary.
So, yeah, they get hunted down super quick, super easily. That's why not a lot of elder Sabbat really exists. And that's why the Sabbat also really don't ever have territory. Like, it's just wherever the pack happens to be, that's where they are. Because they really can't stay in one place for very long if they hope to live for more than like 20 minutes. So as a result, like again, the Sabbat is not organized. It's really just a bunch of weird vampire supremacists on this crazy jihad. They are one of the major playing forces in the Gehenna War. Something that also we've kind of touched on, but not talked a whole lot about. But there's like this big war going on kind of in the Middle East and in Western Asia and in Northern Africa, kind of like cradle of the world kind of areas, where supposedly the original antediluvians are all hiding there somewhere. And they're putting out some big come here and fight for me signal, causing a lot of the older, more powerful vampires of more potent blood to feel this call and be forced into that region of the world in order to fight their war for them. The Sabbat, again, hate the antediluvians, so they're sending tons of their number over there constantly in order to find and hunt down these antediluvians wherever they can. And we have no idea what level of success they've met, if any. But they are a major player in the Gehenna War because of their fervent belief that Cain is the one true vampire they should be worshiping and the one word they need to follow.
Fascinating.
Now, part of the reason that these packs are so disparate is because they have these different paths. Because they have these different variations on their beliefs and like how things should happen, and like what rituals they need to observe in order to venerate Cain. Some of them believe in Lilith and how like she created Cain and made him the first vampire. There's a little bit of that in there, but these paths all have incredibly different belief systems, even if they are working towards the same goal. The first is just called the Path of Cain. And their guiding belief is that they need to cultivate and refine the power inherent in their blood so that each individual vampire in the pack should be able to realize their full potential. Their driving motivation is to just do whatever they can in order to advance themselves. And as a result, diablerie is very common. They think, if that vampire has more potent blood than I do, but I can take them down, I am obligated to diablerize them to take their blood and make my own blood more potent. That is an obligation I have. Yes.
Okay.
If it's not even limited to that, like if they can say, well, that person has that property that would be useful to us. If I'm strong enough to take it, I'm obligated to take it because that advances me and my agenda. So they have this weird desired emulation of the first vampire. And that they want to master the beast within them and be able to like keep it on a leash in order to release it whenever it is most right for them. So that's another big thing that's pretty common among the Sabbat, is they do not believe that this kind of inner beast that kindred have, like that the vampiric force that drives them to like frenzy and seek blood and flee the sun and run away from fire and that kind of stuff. They don't think that's a curse. They think that's something, that's a tool that they have. That is a part of themselves that they should master and use. They call it like riding the wave, basically.
How would you use it?
Like put yourself on the edge of frenzy and then wait until an opportune moment, like whenever you would be able to just like let loose and fucking kill a bunch of people. Like,
oh, I was thinking more along the lines of not going in the sun.
Yeah, definitely don't go in the sun. That will kill
you. It's like, how would you use these things? Like, the frenzy one, I guess I get, but, like, the other ones where it's just like, I need you to, you're going to die if you go in this particular place, do this particular thing. You're like, yeah,
but they believe that the beast is, like, it's not, like, a curse to be feared or run away from. It's, like, it's a difference between the higher and the lower self, whereas the thinking logical brain is like, this is my higher self, the beast is my lower self. It is a servant. It is not to be feared. It is to be understood and nourished so that it can be useful whenever the time is right.
I guess you could argue that about also, your lizard brain.
And they believe it is their right to partake of all blood, to brook no failure. If you cannot accomplish your goal, you are not useful to us. Diablerie time.
Fascinating.
And they want to lower their generation as much as they can in order to be closer to Cain.
So, wait, hold on. They want to lower? Okay, hold on. I thought you said that they were going out of their way to create as many vampires as possible, but by lower, you mean like...
The number goes lower, but that means your blood is more potent. So like a second generation vampire is much more powerful than a third generation.
Oh, for potency. I thought you meant like...
Yes.
Like literally like the generations. And I was like, hold on. You want as few as possible so that you maintain the purity.
But... if a 10th generation vampire has the chance to diablerize a 9th generation vampire and lower his blood
by 11? A generation,
he's obligated to do so. To nine.
Okay. All right. That's how it works. I was like,
number go lower. Yeah.
Yes. Actually. Lower. Yeah. I'm thinking of how it's listed in the book. Sorry. You showed me that page.
These paths tend to have domains that they use, like vampire power domains. Because they don't have them limited by clan, they just use what is most useful to them. So they will often use animalism in order to make themselves more animalistic to give themselves more weapons in a natural sense.
Mm-hmm.
They can use obfuscate to hide themselves if necessary, potence to make themselves more powerful, protean to shape their own body. And oddly enough, a lot of them are able to very capably use blood sorcery, which is something that mostly the Tremere do.
Mm. Also,
the Tremere secrets be leaking.
Do they think that, so if they're trying to get as close to Cain as possible and they're riding the wave on the beast, do they think that Cain was a true beast of vampirism?
They think he mastered his beast, that he had it within him, but it never got out of control. It was only unleashed whenever he decided to unleash it. And the moment the work was done, he could just put it right back on.
But, I guess it's the first one that would kind of make sense. But I think a better interpretation would be that Cain is that a white. He is the first white, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
We have no idea. Cain disappeared and no one has seen him for millennia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So maybe he's a white, maybe not. Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe he gave in to the beast, but still retained some of his thing and let the beast be in control.
The second path is the path of the Cathari. These are the vampire supremacist hedonist people.
Yes.
They believe that they should luxuriate in whatever, like, they are vampires. They have the power to do whatever they want, and they should never be denied that. Our beast should allow us to do whatever we want to do, however we want to do it, whatever way feels best for us, because we're already damned anyway, so we may as well live up our time here on Earth until we're sent to hell.
Mm. That's fair.
Which, like, I kind of can't fault that logic.
Yeah. I kind of can't fault either of their logics, really.
So
controlling
they,
or letting it go.
Yeah, they indulge in just whatever. They want to experience every vice that being damned can afford them. And that can be anything from, like, gratuitous sex to, like, incredible murder and violence to just instilling fear in others in order to drink in that. They believe that their role outside of mortality is predestined and that they should just accept what they are and just roll with it, because this is what they are now and this is what they were meant to be. And they will never, never refuse themselves an indulgence. If they want it, they will just take it. Probably. But because of that, other sects of the Sabbat actually tend to use them a little bit as cannon fodder, because, like, again, they're never going to tell themselves no. So, like, if they can convince a group, like a pack of these Cathari, like, hey, we know you like inflicting pain, and there's a bunch of people over there who you could totally just beat the shit out of, and it would be totally cool. It's very easy to convince them to just go do that.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. It's very common for them to keep blood slaves who that they're, like, constantly injecting with these crazy drugs, because, again, like, vampires, they cannot inject drugs or smoke or whatever and get that high themselves. They have to put that into a human host and then take that blood in order to get kind of a vicarious high out of it. So they'll keep just tons of groups of bloodbound ghouls and just pump them full of drugs in order to drink them. And the Sabbat, like other vampire groups, most of the time will not drink a person dry. They will not kill a person because, one, that's too easily traceable. Like, once there's a body, you know, people start asking questions. And
I
two,
they didn't deny themselves anything. Why would they care?
We're talking about other groups, not the Cathari.
Okay.
As a rule, most vampire groups will not drink someone dry because, A, it's too, like, once there's a body, people start asking questions, and B, killing somebody to slake your hunger, you've chosen to murder for this.
Mm-hmm.
Your humanity is kind of on the back seat right now. And again, they want to, like, kind of keep a hold of who they were. They want to, like, be able to maintain some semblance of self and morality and things. So they try not to do that. The Sabbat, they don't care. The Cathari, they really don't care. If they can inject a person with crack and then drink them completely dry, that is the only way to completely sate their hunger for any amount of time, is to kill a person by draining them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll fucking shoot them up with crack as much as possible and then drink a dude dry to, like, go on this drug-fueled vampire rampage.
Well, at least the guy being shot up with crack would be dead. Being shot
Indeed
up with
they
a
would.
Shit ton of it would be super unpleasant.
I'm sure it would.
Yes.
They are pretty well-versed in all the physical disciplines in order to better perform their monstrous feats.
Mm-hmm.
And they also find a lot of use out of the Auspex, Obfuscate, and Presence powers in order to kind of, like, infiltrate their new hives that they're going to fuck around with and, like, track people and do whatever crazy, horny shit that they're going to do. These are the Slaanesh cultists of vampires, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is called Path of Death and the Soul. And these guys are crazy necromancers.
Excellent.
Indeed. They want to study, understand, and master death so that any enemies they destroy remain destroyed,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to keep themselves alive.
They're
a little crazy. They're the only real academics among the Sabbat because mm-hmm. they're looking up these esoteric texts and they want to know these enlightened paths and these rituals in order to keep themselves alive, even should something that ordinarily would cause final death find them. They want to be able to get away from it, but they also want to be able to make sure that any death that they inflict is a permanent death.
Mm-hmm.
They never leave any survivors at the conclusion of a violent conflict. They take no prisoners. They're so fascinated with death that if any like personal, historic, or occult artifacts relating to death are to be found, it's like, that's mine. That is mine, and I will kill anyone in my way to get it.
Jesus.
So they can study it.
That's weird.
And they are so obsessed with death that they want to hasten its arrival for everybody. They want to make sure that everything around them goes down and that they are the only ones left. They mm-hmm. also mm-hmm. are known to be very prudent schemers. They are most likely to try and face an opponent on their own terms at a given time. They're the only ones who are going to like really plan an engagement out and will usually use one of the other paths to do their dirty work for them and then kind of come in and mop things up. Because they know putting themselves in danger, like that's not a way to not die. So in a way, they're honestly some of the most reasonable Sabbat members, if not, you know, the best to interact with.
Sabbat neighbors. That would be funny.
They are very adept at the Oblivion discipline, which is kind of the vampiric discipline of necromancy. And they're very good at developing like blood magic ceremonies of their own. They can use Auspex and Dominate in order to like keep people as thralls and track things. They're very, very wise, as it were, for being a crazy vampire supremacist cult.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The path of power and the inner voice is the acquisition of might by any means necessary. It does not matter what you do as long as you do it in pursuit of making yourself more powerful. That is the only thing that matters to them.
Terrifying.
They excessively reward success and excoriate failures, including their own. The world around them exists to be exploited to their benefit. And they will force anyone who is beneath one's own position into servitude using any means at their disposal, be that disciplines or just straight up beating them to a pulp until they submit. Most Sabbat packs have kind of a spiritual leader, and this is usually the oldest among them, the one who's been a kindred the longest. The Power and Inner Voice pack members, their spiritual leadership tends to change a lot because it is a vaunted position, somebody who's in charge of the rest of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, the rest of the pack wants that position. So that role gets rotated out very frequently.
Nice. Nice. I bet not to voting at all. Probably due to death.
Probably. And it's like a weird line for them to have to toe because they want to encourage this mindset amongst the rest of their pack as their spiritual leader. Like it is your job to seek power at any cost.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But to do so puts them in a position of like, yes, I am going to paint this bullseye directly on my own forehead.
Wow.
And so it's like a position they should all desire to have, but it is also a very dangerous one to get.
I don't know.
They're very good at waging war and laying sieges. Their disciplines.
Sounds scary.
They're very asshole. The beginning of this book states like, hey, don't seek to play as a Sabbat member. These should only be bad guys. That just immediately makes me want to play as a Sabbat member. But you get into stuff like this,
let's
and you
make
guys
a
like,
cult.
I get it. Yeah.
We're going to make Sept a cult.
And like, oddly enough, these ones are very proficient at like the mental and social disciplines in order to dominate the minds of others through sheer force of will. They will also use fortitude in order to make their own bodies more resilient, to make final mm-hmm. death not come easily to them. Mm-hmm. And being potence, of course, and presence, very big. Make yourself big and loud and strong and hard to deal with.
Yeah.
The path of the sun is a new one, and it's an odd one. So we've talked before about the thin bloods, mm-hmm. the people of generation so high that their blood kind of like they're more half vampires than anything. And the path of the sun is the thin-blooded Sabbat, basically. They have the potential to walk in sunlight. They have the potential to move during times that other kindred would not be able to, and thus they become incredibly effective assassins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they can put on a few layers of sunblock and cover up their skin and walk out in the middle of the day, find a new lair to infiltrate and take down everyone inside while they're in the death sleep and can't do anything about it.
That sounds fucking hilarious. You just see someone with like sunglasses on and he's just like bright white from sunscreen and like a jacket. What is happening?
And
you think they go to the beach like that and go, so this is what it looks like.
Oh, it still burns. They actually tend to wear like burn marks and burn scars as like badges of honor. Because of the fact that
like,
they can walk in the sun.
Oh man, they weren't kidding about the water reflecting all of the light. Jesus Christ.
God, this sucks. I didn't like this when I was alive. Why am I here now?
To feel something? They sound like edgelords.
They are very edgy. And like, because it's thin bloods that mm-hmm. are this, and you know, thin bloods are most of the time the cannon fodder that are getting thrown into whatever situation, the shovel heads who are being beaten over the back of the head and then mm-hmm. braced in mass.
A shovel-shaped helmet would be really funny. Sorry, the edible's really hitting me right now. Go ahead.
A lot of the other canites, like they're like, that's not a real path, but mm-hmm. because of how prevalent thin bloods are becoming, this path is spreading like wildfire. And there's very little they can do to stop it. And, you know, because they're thin bloods, the only actual discipline they have is their blood alchemy, their thin blood alchemy. But they're real damn good at it. They're real damn good at, like, waking up during the day, going out, finding a new kindred, hooking him up to a machine and draining him dry in order to fuel their blood alchemy so that they can use whatever disciplines they want to at a given time.
Nice. That sounds like something Molly would do if she was a vampire. Be like, yep, sure. Whatever. I like the science.
Fuck them.
Fuck them all.
And they also have a weird belief set in that they believe that they are the true canites, the perfect Sabbat, because they have the strengths of both mortality and undeath.
Mm-hmm.
And they will never seek to diablerize another vampire because that would take away their greatest strength. So they think that they are more powerful than everyone else because they can skirt the line. And they think it is their job to destroy all like full-blooded vampires. That they should be the ones that are going to inherit the earth.
Hmm.
Pretty cool, right?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Also, for some reason, I'm getting like, I'm reminded of this short horror film that I watched about this, I think it was either a girl or a guy that was going out of their way to like take samples with like a syringe out of pregnant women's bellies and to put it into like a VHS or something, or like to inject it. I can't quite remember. It acted like a drug, but I don't think it was specifically a drug. And they would like be able to, it got them to a weird place where they were able to like feel really good and feel safe and like see what it was like, and it was like hyper addictive.
Sure. That doesn't sound sociopathic at all.
It's pretty crazy, right?
There's a lot more we could cover here. We're already at our time. Like, we could go into like the rituals and things like that, but like, geez, it's there's so much. So the Sabbat is something we will also likely come back to at some point in the future, because there's just so much to talk to about the Sabbat. Most of the clans and shit, like, we could probably really start going into like some excruciating detail on them and get a lot of content out of them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we'll save that for another day.
You just added to the list.
Yep. For now, thank you everyone for listening. If you would like to find us on Facebook, that is facebook.com/d20dudes, twitter.com/d20dudes, or at d20dudes on Twitter if you want to find us there. We got a Discord link down in the description if you want to pop in the Discord and say hi to us, suggest episodes, whatever you want to do. Harass me at all times of the day.
I mean, like, that stuff. We all do that. But it's usually...
That is true.
You also harass us back, so it really helps.
That is also true. Mm-hmm. I cannot be stopped. I am a horrible goblin.
Like, I rule this Discord.
It belongs to me.
You have to listen to me talk about all of these big tittied goblin girls I'm painting. All of them. I'm going
to talk about 40K for a long time.
You do. We love you for it. It's funny. But you do that.
If you would like to support the podcast, patreon.com/d20dudes, just $3 a month gets you a shout out like we have for you, Molly, and Jenny, and Word, and Zam, and Ken Thomas. Thank you guys so much for supporting the podcast. It means a lot.
Thank you. It all goes to him.
Mm. Yeah, it buys me lunch like once a month. If it ever got to like if it gets to a point where the Patreon is big enough that I have like an actual like usable amount of money, like, for one, like, my co-host, some of that's going to you. You deserve it.
What?
You're putting in work too.
You should put in more, like, you could put it first into like buying books and things. Take care of those.
It's definitely going to go like into making the podcast better in whatever way. Like,
if it started making enough money to start thinking about paying yourself, you should do that first, because you're the one that does like all the editing and everything. But like,
it's not as hard as it seems.
I'm aware that it's not the most difficult, but it still takes you time.
But we will roll this beautiful D20 and see what next week's episode is going to be about. If we roll an 18, it's going to be real funny. Mm-hmm. I rolled a 12.
Again.
Is actually 40K.
Oh, wow. We are going to talk about it for a long time. And I'll continue sitting there going, names.
We are going to talk about the Adeptus Custodes, the Emperor's big, shiny, golden boys.
Custodes?
This is going to be...
They're all janitors. The Custody Boys. Pagodes.
I don't have the brain power to refute the definition of custodian right now, but it's not the janitorial definition of custodian.
Are you sure? They're cleaning up.
Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. Thank you everyone for listening. Bye.